someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
For 150 years, the journey of Howard University has offered a window on the nation. Since 1867, when Howard was founded, an extraordinary history has unfolded. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is one who has looked at this university through the lens of history and witnessed its changes. She is professor in the Howard University Department of History, Dr. Edna Green Medford. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Medford, you grew up in the South. Tell me a little bit about where exactly you grew up and what that was like.
I was born in a little county called Charles City County. They expected, I guess, more than just the rural community that it became. But it's located about 25 miles south of Richmond. It was a totally rural community, still is. But the population was 82% African American. So I had a rather interesting experience growing up.
Okay. Now, what type of schools did you attend as you were growing up in that part of the country at that era?
The schools were segregated during that period. In fact, my high school did not integrate until a year after I graduated. It was in Virginia. Virginia was very resistant to the Brown decision and did everything imaginable to slow down the process of desegregation.
Now, you attended Hampton Institute, which is now known as Hampton University. Mm-hmm. You subsequently went to University of Illinois, and you developed a special interest in Abraham Lincoln and the 19th century African-American history. You also got your PhD from University of Maryland at College Park in U.S. history. What about that era and about the African-American experience at that time intrigues you?
Mm-hmm. I think that period of Civil War and Reconstruction were perhaps the most important periods in American history, not just for white Americans, but certainly for African-Americans as well. It was at a time when the country stood at a crossroads, and although it was able to move forward in some aspects in terms of the elimination of slavery, it did not eliminate the legacy of slavery, the racism and discrimination that followed it. And so I always was intrigued with what could have occurred that did not occur, and I wanted to know why it didn't during that period.
Now, you've written extensively about the African Burial Ground project in New York. Tell our listeners a little bit about that particular project and your view of it today in terms of how we expose students today and why we should be exposing students today.
Mm-hmm. The African Burial Ground Project originated out of the rediscovery of a 19th century slave cemetery in Lower Manhattan, of all places, in 1991. It wasn't that historians didn't know that the burial ground existed, but we had all assumed that it was lost, that whatever was there was no longer there, because there were all of these buildings and streets, of course, that had developed over the course of time. When they started excavating for a new federal office building in Lower Manhattan on that site, they started uncovering remains. And so those remains ultimately were brought to Howard, where they were studied by Dr. Michael Blakey, an anthropologist, and his team. And the historians in the history department were asked to study the documentary evidence of these people. And so sort of by default, I became the director for history, because at the time I was teaching colonial America, although my background was not as strong in that area as it was in Civil War and Reconstruction.
Now, you teach courses in the Jacksonian era, Civil War and Reconstruction, and African American history to 1877. What types of things would a student today sitting in one of those classes learn?
Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, my students, as would most students at Howard, whatever we teach, we try to do it from an Africanist perspective. I think that's what's so unique about Howard. That's what makes us Howard University. It's not just enough to teach our students the facts and the dates. It's about interpretation as well. And I think what I try to do is make people of color, especially African Americans, the center of the story, because so many of our students have never had that. They're coming in from high schools where they know nothing about their own history. So even if I'm talking about Jacksonian America, or if I'm talking about U.S. history in general, I'm trying to teach it from the perspective of people of color, and more broadly too. I'm very careful to include women and immigrants and Native Americans, because they're all a part of that history.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Edna Green Medford, professor in the Howard University Department of History. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, just to switch gears a bit, Howard University obviously has had a significant intersection with American history. As we embark on celebrating its 150th anniversary of our charter, what is your perspective of where are the critical points in which Howard University really, on a broad national basis, has really influenced or participated in landmark issues in American history?
Well, we've always influenced American history and global history, actually. We started out influencing the world, I think, when this institution was founded as a university and not as a grammar school or as a preparatory school. We are influencing the outcome of African-American history and consequently the history of people of color all over the world and the world's population as well, I think. I don't believe that it's hyperbole to say that. But I think that probably we have made the greatest impact starting in the 1920s and the 1930s with the introduction, the hiring of the first president of color at this institution. Before that time, I think, although there were well-meaning people who were following the conventions of the time, I think more than anything else, there was not that concern for studying the history of people of color and using our knowledge to actually further to advance people of color. And I think starting in the 1920s, that all changes. And I believe that what we're doing today, because we are still doing that after 150 years, I believe all of that starts during that period. That legacy that originated during that time, that comes out of the efforts of Mordecai White Johnson and some of the people that he hired at the university during that time. I think that really does propel us into where we are today. Certainly that period from through the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s even, where the country is in turmoil, where it's undergoing massive changes. Howard is at the center of that. I mean, we talk about the 60s as if it's the beginning of the civil rights movement, but Howard was doing certain things long before that. Not just our faculty, because we always talk about what the faculty did. People like Charles Hamilton Houston and the students like Thurgood Marshall. But we also need to recall that our students have always been activists, at least since the 1920s they have been. And so they've been out there promoting the cause of Black advancement as well.
Now, you mentioned two important things. One is that this was founded as a university from its inception, and I think that's a very seminal point in higher education. You look at some of the major universities of today, a lot of them were founded in much the way you described, as the alternative, not as a university to begin with. Some of them were seminaries, etc.
Right.
And then the first African-American president, you mentioned Mordecai Wyatt Johnson, did something unique. He convinced the board of trustees to allow him to hire deans of color. And the impact that obviously had was significant in terms of propelling some of that activism you spoke about. We often refer to Brown versus the Board of Education, the Kansas case that went to the Supreme Court. what is your perspective of how that really changed America in terms of not just the education system, but the impact it had on the economy, et cetera? What's your perspective?
Absolutely. Before Brown, we were all suffering under the constraints of Plessy versus Ferguson, which was sanctioned by the Supreme Court, indicating that it was okay to separate people as long as facilities were equal. And of course, we know that that was never the case. You don't have equal facilities ever. And so with the Brown decision, and because of the efforts of the Howard Law School and the professors and the students who were trained by those professors, we get the Brown decision that overturns Plessy versus Ferguson. And what that does is it opens up other avenues as well. It's not just about school desegregation. It's also leading to a time when we're looking at the Civil Rights Act of 1964, for instance, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. All of that is coming from the Brown decision. And so Howard has a prominent role to play there. We can't overemphasize the role that the university played, not just through the law school, but through the history department as well, I'm proud to say, because of the efforts of people like Rayford Logan and Charles Wesley and John Hope Franklin, who was here at the time, because of the efforts of people like Kenneth and Mamie Clark in psychology and other people. So what I find fascinating is people are all working together. There is a community of scholars that exist to benefit African Americans and people of color. And I think it's an extraordinary thing that happens during this period.
Now, Howard University is inextricably linked to the American Civil War, right? It was after that Civil War that the First Congressional Society of Washington decided to establish what initially was intended to be a seminary for African American clergymen and obviously grew into a plan to have a university. Describe those beginning days and how important it is, if not ironic as well, that our history is also linked in terms of its birth to the Civil War. Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense because you've got Oliver Otis Howard, who's director of the Freedmen's Bureau, and the Bureau was tasked with helping free people make the transition from slavery to freedom. Of course, it was helping white Americans as well who had been displaced by the war, but its main function is to help African Americans make that transition. Oliver Otis Howard and his friends in the First Congregationalist Society and other men and women as well, especially black men and women, understood that education was central to advancement, that freedom was not sufficient without the ability to secure it. And you can secure it by way of an education. And so when those men got together, of course, though, because they were religious men, they assumed that the moral uplift of African Americans was the most important thing. But then very quickly, they realized that there needed to be more than that. There needed to be more than just black preachers, but there needed to be black teachers as well to educate the masses. And within weeks of that, they decided, no, we really do need more than that. And to me, that's extraordinary that they recognized early on that there needed to be advanced education, not just teaching teachers or having preachers, but actually the development of a professional class, of a class of people, what Du Bois calls later the talented 10th, that can help uplift the race. And so that was absolutely extraordinary. But actually, they're not the first, because in early 66, you do have black men and women especially who are attempting to establish a national institution, a national university for African Americans in honor of Abraham Lincoln, actually.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Edna Greene Medford, professor in the Department of History at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and as we embark on our celebration of our 150th, we have to always remember that Howard University has always been the place where the time is always now. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.